Hello everybody, welcome. First of all, apologies. This is a Friday night pod, not a Thursday night pod, so I'm a little bit late. So by this time we've got about, not even 24 hours until the deadline. So do apologise for that. Reason being, I did explain it in my last pod that I was wildcarding this week. I had a Zoom call planned with Sam, which I will discuss in a moment, but that's why the pod is a Friday and not a Thursday. So I will, you'll probably all listen to this probably early Saturday morning before the half one deadline on Saturday. So if you are, good morning. If you listen to it in the next hour, good evening. But we'll talk about last week first. 34 Red Arrow, about 79k Red Arrow. It was a weird week, wasn't it? Haaland benched, which we kind of knew, really. I think that was the narrative that was being built, and that narrative was right. It was nice and it wasn't, because it meant we could all go a bit, for the ones that caught it anyway, because there was a little leak from, FPL Lazy, who linked it, and he's normally a very reliable source in the Twitterverse of FPL. For the ones of us that listened, we all changed our captains. Some of you went, if you went Ekitike, I honestly feel for you, I really do, because there was no reason why he shouldn't have started that game. I know Slot said fitness issue and that, but if you're fit, if you're fit to be benched, you're fit to start at the end of the day. That's how I see it. Whether you play like, say, the first 30 minutes of a football game or the last 30 minutes of a football game, you're still fit enough to do one or the other. So, yeah, bit annoying there for you guys. For those who went Thiago like me, look, it was one of those days we just weren't at it. Didn't want to have a shot at goal. The Forest got a, I say lucky goal. That's probably me being a little bit salty, but they've had a little mini volley. They had a little half volley on the turn, and it's gone in. And once Forest go 1-0 up, they can basically play Deitch ball, and that's what they did. They frustrated us. We weren't good enough. Just one of those days, really. Thiago had a chance where on another day he probably scores it. Dango had two really good chances as well. Just wasn't Brentford's day. So I think if you went Semenyo, like a few people did, I know in my little friend group, I know Duncan did, I know Steve did. So well done to them too. Steve will say that he had the armband on Semenyo before the Haaland benching, and before my pod when I said Semenyo was a good pick, but he will say otherwise. But that's just Steve. It was just one of them, really. Verts, I can't remember now, but we'll go through my team anyway from last week and discuss everything. So that was it. So great start. Donnarumma, 2-0. Got an 8. Lovely jovely. Rodon got a number 4 on Monday night. He was, I thought there. Do you know what? I thought Leeds were a little bit unlucky not to get a clean sheet here. It was a great, it was a great goal by Barry. He does what a number 9 does. I think that's 3 and 4 now for him. So he's starting to become a consistent number 9 for Everton. Sort of back to the old DCL days where, really, DCL was probably their last best striker they had. I'll take a DEFCON 4 for Rodon. The rest of it was crap in the back line. Arsenal both getting one-pointers because they conceded 3 against United. Chelsea also got a one pointer, losing 2-0 to Villa. Arsenal, I don't know about Arsenal. I think they're going to bottle the league, you know. I really do. I think the problem with Arsenal now, especially, I mean, there's nothing wrong with overcoaching a back line, by the way, because, you know, you start, the old saying, you start from the back, you build from the back, and then you work your way forward. But I think now, where Arsenal have certain players, like Odegaard, like Saka, like Madueke, like Trossard, like Eze, where you kind of need them to be the maverick, you need them to express themselves on the pitch. And now I think the first time Arsenal went for a title challenge, they did that and they got caught out. And I think Arteta's got this in his head, like, well, that didn't work last time. So now this time we literally need to be overcoached. And basically I think he's almost obsessed now with treating corners and free kicks like a set play in the NFL. And that's what it feels like, that Rice and Saka are essentially quarterbacks for set pieces, but they're not scoring enough open play goals. Saka and Gyökeres can't build the chemistry they should have. I don't think Gyökeres is a bad player, and I've actually said in the Slack a lot he's basically dog shit. And a part of me agrees with that, but a part of me also agrees he's not actually getting the service. Like, Saka's not who he used to be. He's only scored 4 goals this season, Saka. And I'm pretty sure 2 of them were only penalties. I think he's got 7 assists, but it's beside the point. He's obviously not, he's not linking up well with Gyökeres. So I think there's a little issue there. I don't know if they just don't like each other or what. I think it's a similar thing with Wirtz and Salah. There's an argument that Wirtz and Salah don't get on either. I'm not sure how much I buy that narrative, but there's definitely an issue between Gyökeres and Saka, I think. And I think if Arteta wants to win that league, he's going to have to sort out, he's sort of going to have to go back to the way Arsenal used to play, in a way where, you know, they're scoring more open play goals, where I think a lot of the teams have learned how to defend against Arsenal, but obviously that them set pieces are, because really what Arsenal did, they started, I'm going on a tangent about Arsenal here, but they started really well in that Man United game, and I thought, right, here we go, like, that's it. Man United have been found out already after one game. Arsenal are going to win this 3 or 4-0. And then they scored the goal. And then there was a really bad error at the back. I think it was Saliba who made the error. And then they scored. And you're like, okay, well, come on then. And then Dorgu gets that absolute wonder strike. And and then Arsenal had to go again. But what Arsenal did, they just put all their tallest players, they had in the box, tried to win a corner or a free kick, and just lump everyone, every big player they have, in the box. And we all thought it worked. And as Lee said on the stream, you know, it was sexy football versus basically the ugliest kind of football team ever. And at the end of it, Raquinha strikes, sexy football won, as Lee said. And he's right. And there's also been this narrative that if Arsenal win the league, it's the worst side to ever win the league. I don't believe that. If you win the league, you win the league. You're good enough in that season to win the league, and that's all you have to be. I don't think there's ever a worse team to win it. Having said that, we've been here with Arsenal before, and I watched that United game, and I just thought, you know, as soon as Mbeumo scored, their heads dropped, and there was a sense of, oh, here we go again at the Emirates. And there was no sort of belief after that goal went in. And I just wonder if a lot of Arsenal fans and Arsenal themselves are kind of letting the anxiety kick in again. And honestly, it would not surprise me if City went and win it, and it wouldn't even surprise me even more if Villa nabbed it off them. But yeah, that's my Arsenal tangent. Chelsea, yeah, Villa, you know, Villa are great. I think Villa are a great side. They're what's the word I'm looking for? They're going against the data. Villa should not be third due to the data that's everywhere, the XG data. They're scoring worldies and they shouldn't be third, but hey ho, they're third. And you know, they're defeating the narrative of how of where they should be. And credit to him, you know. And Rodgers is such a good player. Newcastle, I don't know where you go with Newcastle. It would not shock me if Newcastle don't finish in the top five, which I don't think they will at the moment. Sorry, Nicole. It would not surprise me if they look elsewhere in the summer for another manager. I don't know. There's just not something right about Newcastle at the moment. And I get it. They sold Isak and they had to kind of rebuild and find that. I don't think they found their next Isak in Wissa or Voldemort. And I think they're now kind of trying to re-tactic themselves into, right, well, we've got these two strikers. We need to get the best out of them and kind of play that system. And I'm not sure they know what that system is yet. Look, at home, Newcastle are great. They're a really good side. But, there's something not quite right about Newcastle at the moment. I've spoiler alert, in my wildcard, I've had to get off the Newcastle assets because they've got a hard run coming up. And, you know, they've had their easy fixtures. And Bruno G was a great little ride with him. It's time to get off Newcastle now, I think. Vert's got a 2. Yeah, didn't get anything in that 3-2 game against Liverpool and against Bournemouth. Bournemouth's just chaotic, man. Like, really, they are chaos. And, you know, you wouldn't want to, I mean, I'm a betting man anyway, but you wouldn't want to, you know, betting on Bournemouth would give you anxiety because you don't know if they're going to turn up and have a world-class performance or they're just going to stink the place out. They're literally chaotic. But credit to them, you know, last kick of the game, win it at the end. Van Dijk's at fault, by the way, for 2 of those goals. Look, Liverpool have, you know, they're missing their Isak. Salah's coming back into it again. It was just one of those games for Liverpool, I think. And again, it was another bit of a hit and miss, really. I think Wirtz is the guy, though. And now we go back to the whole Salah doesn't like Wirtz narrative. And I think because Wirtz is the next big guy for Liverpool, I think. And whatever Liverpool do in the summer, I think they have to build whatever team they want to build around him. Whether Slot will be there to build that team, I'm not too sure. There is obviously this, I've said narrative so many times, I sound like Lee Bromfield, but I do love the saying. There's a narrative that in the summer, Xabi Alonso will come in and we'll see how they play football. I'm not sure that's the right move for Liverpool. I get it. He's a fan favourite. He would play great for Liverpool, but not sure that's a good idea. Saka, I've touched on. Saka's gone, by the way, in my wild card. But again, we'll get to that later. Semenyo got a goal, and I kind of wish I did captain him. It was between him and Thiago, and I just kind of backed my boy because of the fixture. You know, Brentford at home against Forest, there should have been, as I said earlier, there should have been goals in that game for us, and there wasn't. Very frustrating. I was there as well. And I mean, if Dango scores 3 minutes later after they scored, you know, it's a different game. And maybe we do go and win it 3-1 with 2 Thiago goals. But yeah, just wasn't to be. Again, if you did go for Semenyo, great. Fair play to you. Right, now, and by the way, that 34, yeah, as I said, I sent my rank to 80k, down 80k. So I'm 323 K rank now. But yeah, so we wildcarded. I pressed a button. I mean, as I said to you guys, I already had my Zoom booked in. And yeah, so I Zoom called Sam this morning, which I'm you know me, I'm a massive advocate for the FPL family, not just Sam and Lee as the FPL family, but the family within the FPL family. So, you know, you hear their names a lot in here. So Steve, Duncan, Louise, Nicole, Claire, Fiona, who joined from Fest, Andrew as well. And then obviously you've got the guys in the Slack regularly. You've got your Dannys, you've got your Aarons, of course, Matt D, big Arsenal fan. Jonathan as well, who I know listens every single week, the Chelsea fan. And, you know, that comes in with what the service is. But obviously, you know, the service I pay for is to spend an hour and a half with Sam when we do have a wild card chat, or when we have a free hit chat, or any random week. If you just want to, you know, have your Zoom call and just have a lovely little natter with Sam or Lee, that's what it's also there for. And yeah, we had a lovely, lovely morning chat. We chatted about, you know, just obviously FPL, and she helped me with the wild card, which I'll go through in a minute. But, you know, we chat about my daughter, we chat about her family, my family, just life in general. And we have a laugh, we have a giggle, and yeah, it's just it's lovely. And it's, if you're not, again, I'm the biggest advocate for the FPL family, and I'll support them, and I'll boast about them till, you know, my hair turns grey. That they are two lovely people, and the Zoom tiers are well worth it. Just literally, me and Sam, we literally sit there, have a lovely cup of tea together, have a nice little latter, and then we go into the wildcard conversation, or just football conversation in general. So yeah, Sam and Lee, if you are listening, thank you as always, you're amazing. Yeah, truly love being here, truly love my little FPL banter group, which was really built because of the FPL family. And I love the Slack as well, and everyone in it, even though I do wind all of you up. so yeah, the wild card. So we'll start with the back line. We'll start with my goalkeepers. So this was a big, big, big talking point between me and Sam, and I'll quote what me and Sam basically said. We fucking hate goalkeepers. In this game, we fucking hate goalkeepers. And I know I've just sworn. I don't really swear a lot in here. But literally, that was a quote we both said. Because the goalkeepers are crap this year. Unless you're paying for Raya or Donnarumma, who should be getting you sixes anyway, they're crap. They're just there. And the goalkeepers are literally a lottery. And then it just came to a point, well, Dubravka's staying. So we need to find someone who rotates well with Dubravka. So who, on a bad Dubravka week, who can we go for? And the best one, I mean, it was either Roofs, Lammens or Petrovic. I didn't like Petrovic because Bournemouth are just, as I said earlier, chaotic. I'm not convinced about United yet. Now, I know everyone's going to go, oh, George, they've just beaten the first and second place in the Premier League. Great, fine. They've beaten two teams that will attack you. So United will play a certain way under Carrick. And we've already seen it. I mean, you know, by the way, credit to Carrick. He's done what, you know, almost every single, not just United fan, but every single basic football fan who knows that United side would have done. You take Bruno out of the six, you put him in the 10. You play Mainoo in an 86 type role. You then have four at the back instead of three. And voila, you've got a winning formula where you can actually compete in a game of football. Funny that, by playing a number 10 in a number 10. The Mbeumo 9 role really surprised me. And at the moment, it's working really well for United. But now we're coming to a point where, and in FPL, we're going to do it. Like, we're going to do it. We're going to, you're going to get Bruno anyway, because Bruno's probably... I think Bruno's now the most essential player, bar probably Gabriel and even Haaland, even though he's on a bad run of form. Bruno is probably the most essential FPL player in your team. If you don't have Bruno, you're asking for trouble. And he's just it. Whether he plays as a 6, he gets you points, and now he's playing as a 10, he should get you even more points. Now, as I said, the only thing with United, and this will be the test now in the next 2 to 3 games, they're going to play teams with a low block. That will set up with a low block. Now, if United want to get Europe, they need to break that low block teams, where I think they struggled a lot with that under Amorim. So now we're going to see if Carrick can do that. Because we've seen with every single United manager, by the way, they can beat their Arsenals, they can beat their Cities. They've done it before. They've beaten City in a cup final, for crying out loud. So they know how to play against these big teams. But when it comes to a low block, they run out of ideas. But I think now Bruno's in the 10. I think because of the Dorgu injury. There's a reason I'm laughing. And Mbeumo will probably go to the right. And potentially Cunha will go back as a 9. Or Sesko will come in as the 9. The reason I laughed about Dorgu is... So... My mate Duncan will tell you. My mate Duncan is a massive advocate of... If you've got games in a midweek, you wait. Doesn't matter if there's a price rise. If you really want that certain player, you'll make it work for that game week regardless. But don't do anything until those games are done. You've had a presser. You know he's going to play. Don't do anything. What do people do? Because of the price rise. By the way, Dorgu went off holding his hammy, even though Carrick wants to say it was cramp. Dorgu went off holding his hammy, yet loads of people jumped to it. Loads of people went, no, I'm getting Dorgu. He just scored against City. He scored against Arsenal. I don't care if he might have cramp. We're all going to get him. So they all got him. What happened? He pulls his hammy for 10 weeks. And what amazing FPL manager decided to buy Dorgu, take a hit, by the way, to get Dorgu. None other than my good old friend. So now he's not called Copycat Steve. He's now called Take Early Hits Steve. That's what he is. And we jest, and he knows I'm jesting. But yeah, donkey. Absolute donkey. So now he's in a position where... Right, well, I've just taken a hit for an injured player. Do I wildcard to remove all of that? Or do I just leave it and take my medicine? I don't know what he's doing, by the way. He'll probably decide after this pod, knowing him. But look, jokes aside, if you went there... I want to say you're unlucky, but you're not, because you saw him go off holding his hammy. So, yeah, it's one of them, isn't it? But as my mate Duncan says... Do not do an early transfer, especially if you've got a load of games in that midweek. Doesn't matter if the other thing as well, people will go, well, United didn't have a midweek game. Fine, but Villa did, Chelsea did, Arsenal did, City did. Now, all of a sudden, let's say no Champions League games, Rodgers, Haaland and Saka all got injured. You would have just taken a hit for Dorgu, who's also injured, and now you've got 3 other injuries in your team. Like Steve, for example, you might have Mickey out. So, sorry, Steve, I feel like I'm bullying you here. I'm not. You know I love you. Yeah, so back on United. So I think we're going to see how United are going to play against a low block. And I think if they do, then there is a case to bring someone else in with Mbeumo. Spoiler alert into my midfield. I only have 1 United player. So on to my goalkeepers. Again, sorry, I'm going on so many tangents today. Roofs is my keeper. He just combines okay with Dubravka. And he's probably, in terms of points this season, he's probably your best bet in terms of a budget keeper. I know some people will go Sanchez. I know some people will just stick to Raya. The Sanchez thing, I don't like it. I don't think Chelsea... I think Chelsea offensively are great under Rossignol. From what I've seen, they look great under Rossignol offensively. Defensively, they're lazy. They're very sleepwalky. And I just don't think you're going to get many clean sheets in the next four from Chelsea. I think you're going to get one if you're lucky. So my back line. Now, this is where it gets interesting. And I have to say, and I need to say this, because if I don't, she'll kill me. There is a Spurs player in my defence. I know that sounds crazy with when they got City, Newcastle, United, Arsenal in their next four. It's crazy. I know it is. But I need to say, this was my idea. Sam tried to slightly talk me out of it, but she also understood my logic to it. So we'll reveal that Spurs player last. So we've got Gabriel, Gehi, Timber and Hill from Bournemouth, who's got played the last five, started the last five, and he's got four DEFCONs in four of those five. Now, that last defender is Romero. I'll let that sink in for a few of you. Romero. Hothead Romero. Who, by the way, has scored in his last two games. He has one goal more than Gabriel. He has the same amount of goals as Saka. Am I getting Romero for his defensive qualities? God, no. Am I getting Romero for his aerial threat and set-piece threat? Hell yes. Now, you're thinking, yeah, but he's coming against defences of City, Arsenal. I get all that. But I think if Spurs are nicking a goal from somewhere, it's from a set-piece where United fall asleep, City fall asleep, Arsenal fall asleep. By the way, Newcastle aren't solid either. So Romero could easily head a goal in against Newcastle. It's a punt, and it's probably my only punt in this wild card, because the rest is very template at the moment. It is template, and I'll explain why it's template in a minute. But I think Romero's a nice little punt that I've looked at him lately, and basically... And as Sam said, he will play as a number 9 40 minutes into a game. Don't, you know, me and Sam have a funny conversation about it. He won't just go as number 9, it's 0-0 with 10 minutes to go. He'll go number 9 when it's 0-0 with another half to go. Like, he's that kind of player, Romero. And to be fair to Spurs, he saved them a few times already this season by doing it. It is a punt. He is a hothead. He could quite easily get me a headed goal against City. And he can also quite easily get himself sent off against City. Look, it's a punt. In terms of the rest of it, it's template. It speaks for itself. A lot of people have gone Senesi over Hill. If Hill's starting every game at 3.9 and getting DEFCONs, I'll save myself the extra 1.2 million or whatever it is. Gabriel and Timber. Now, there was an argument where I only had one Arsenal defender for a lot of my drafts. But, I'm 300k. I think there comes a point where you've got to protect rank. And a lot of this is, you just got to protect rank. For now, let the dust settle. Let the double game weeks come into play and the blanks and all that. We already know that there will be a double game week in 26 with either Arsenal or Chelsea doubling with either Wolves or Everton. The way my team's set, I'm banking basically Arsenal to beat Chelsea. Sorry, Jonathan. But that's kind of how my wildcard's set up. But that's the back line. Look, do I think Arsenal bottle it? Yes. Do I still think they keep a few clean sheets along the way? Yes. And Timber and Gabriel still have that attacking threat for Arsenal. Midfield. So, probably it is the template five, if people are calling it. The narrative is at the moment. Bruno Fernandes, Rodgers, Semenyo, Enzo and Rice. Now, the big conversation with me and Sam, I really wanted to go without. I didn't. That's probably the wrong word to use, because I love Rice and I think he's probably, I think pound for pound, he's probably the best midfielder in the Premier League. That over Bruno. But I think as an FPL asset, Bruno's the best midfielder in the Premier League. As a just pound for pound football ability, Rice is the best player in the midfield. In terms of being a perfect midfielder, I think Rice is that guy. And Rice is not, he's not ticked over in his last two games. He got a 3 against Forest, and then he, you know, he got a 2 against United. And but Rice is essentially that quarterback, as I explained earlier. Rice is that quarterback for corners, sometimes for free kicks. He even comes in the role where he plays as an 8 and scores a few goals, and he has that in his locker. And I think he's a better option than Saka. I wanted to go in Mbeumo, I really did, and maybe that's some of my old Brentford player bias. And me and Sam talked about it a lot, and I think Rice protects rank. Again, and a lot of this wild card is about protecting rank. I don't want to go too punty. I don't think Mbeumo's a punt, because he's come back to AFCON and he's scored twice. And if Mbeumo is basically now a number 9 for United, then there is a case that Mbeumo will eventually come into my team at some point. I just want to see how United play against that low block. And as, you know, as I spoke to Sam today about it, and with Arsenal having a double, I think if Arsenal didn't have a potential double coming up, I probably would have stuck with Mbeumo. And even Sam said that. And Sam said if Arsenal didn't have a potential double, I think Mbeumo is a fair shout. But until we know what's what with United, and until we know what's what with the double, I'm just going to go with Rice for now. Enzo, the only thing with Enzo, right, I was umming and ahhing about Enzo, and Enzo's fine if Palmer ain't playing, because Enzo has the penalties. Enzo will play a more forward role. If Palmer's there, he kind of goes back into a CDM. You might get DEFCON from Enzo, you might get an assist from Enzo. He's a little bit like Rice Enzo, not so much for the quarterback of set pieces, but he can do all the jobs that Chelsea midfield needs. And one week it'll work where, you know, he'll be more advanced and he'll get you a goal, he'll get you an assist. Or if Palmer's there, it could mean he has to be more further back, more defensive, and you know, he may still get you a DEFCON, but with Palmer there, it's a little bit like Wirtz and Saka. If Saka's there, I feel like Wirtz sort of drops a little bit. Well, I think that's a similar situation with Palmer and Enzo. Would I punt on Palmer? No, I know that conversation has been brought in the Slack a little bit this week. He's not fully fit, he's not match fit. And until he's properly fit, playing 90-minute games, Palmer is not an option for me. But look, we'll go with Enzo, we'll stick with it. And as I said, that is currently the template 5. And in an ideal world, I've got 2 free transfers. So I'm hoping that I can get to 4 into that double game week. Because if for whatever reason it is Chelsea, I have 4 transfers to have a little play with that double game week. Now, the front line. There's been a lot of conversation of, do you go Haaland? Do you go without Haaland? Do you go without the 2 big boys, Salah and Haaland, in a wild card? I think if you're in the millions, I think you could do that. I think, but it's basically a Hail Mary. I'm using a lot of NFL references today, but going without Haaland is a Hail Mary to try and save your season. if you're my rank, I think if you're, let's say, I think if you're 800k or less, so 800k to number one, I don't think you can go without him. I just don't. I just think it's going to, if it goes against you, it's going to tank your rank. And even though I have a Spurs defender, Haaland should be scoring against Spurs. He should be scoring against Liverpool next week. I think he needed a rest, and I think he got it against Wolves. If Haaland doesn't score against Spurs or Liverpool, if he doesn't score in either of them, there is a small chance I sell Haaland for Thiago for when the nice fixtures come back for Brentford. And then maybe Enzo becomes Mbeumo. That is in my thoughts. And Danny, I don't know if you are listening. I there's a lot of what you say that is very true about Haaland, but his ownership is still 70%, over 70%. It's just a really dangerous game to go without him. If you don't want to captain him, don't mind that. I don't hate it at all. But I think if you're wildcarding and you're between the 800k to number, I mean, not even a million to be fair, I'd probably still hold him. yeah, look, if you want to sell him, big balls and fair play to you. I just think it will eventually bite you in the arse at some point. And then my other two are João Pedro and Mane from Wolves. So Mane's 4.5, potentially has a double. Strand Larsen's gone. So if Wolves don't find a replacement for Strand Larsen, Mane's the guy. He's the guy that's going to play every week. He's the number nine. And, you know, most weeks he will sit on my bench, by the way. That's that. João Pedro. João. The troll that is João Pedro. We all had him at the start of the season. We all knew he was going to... He had one good game against West Ham. Funny enough, he's playing West Ham tomorrow. And then it kind of went a bit stale. And we all like... And we all went, F you, João Pedro. Off you go in the bin. And that's what a lot of people did. however, under Rossinia, João Pedro looks rejuvenated again. That second goal, oh my God, that second goal in the Champions League was ridiculous. And then that third goal was just number nine-esque. It really was. Now, the problem with João Pedro is the games, as I've said. So they played Wednesday, Chelsea, beating Napoli 3-2. And then they got West Ham Saturday. They got Arsenal Tuesday. And then they got a 3 o'clock game again Saturday after against Wolves. There is every chance that João Pedro gets benched for both of those games. I know that. And in a way, you could say João Pedro is a punt in that sense, that quite easily Delap could start against West Ham and he could start against Wolves. 100%. However, João Pedro can still come on. If the game's looking a little bit hairy, he can still come on and get a goal. He can get something. I'm not sure. We'll see. Now I'm building a narrative here. I don't think João will want to bench him. I think he'll want to go. I think he'll start him. I've got a funny feeling he starts him. And Rossinia will want to try and finish this game quite quickly. I think he'll want to start him, go 2-0 up with 20 minutes to go, and then he'll drag him off for Delap. Chelsea are not going to go win the Champions League. They need to, for them to get back into Europe, they even need to win one of these cups for some form of Europe, get the top five of the Premier League, or win the Champions League. And I think their best bet is top five. I think they're capable with the offence they've got. I think Rossini is definitely capable. And there seems to be a feel-good factor around Chelsea at the moment under him. Dare I say it, probably better than Maresca ever had it. Yeah, look, I just think he's top quality. And I get it, we've all been here before, we're all going to get burnt, potentially. I just think it's hard to go without him the way he's playing at the moment. And I get it, there might be some rotation, but I think we're overthinking it a little bit. I think João Pedro can at least still come on and come on for 30 minutes and get a goal or two. And sometimes that's all you need. And in a world where this season the strikers have been very crap, you know, and a lot of the times we've had a City key player and a Brentford player, or a City player and a Leeds player. Like the striker levels of season have been very meh. And I just think under Rossini just looks ridiculously good at the moment. So I'm taking the punt there, if you want to call it a punt. So yeah, that's the wild card. So we'll go through my bus team for this week. So Roos and Dubravka are playing each other. Roos is my keeper. At the moment, I've got a back four of Gabriel, Gehi, Timber and Romero. I built a very big narrative on Romero today. In the Slack, people have gone, George, what are you doing? Duncan as well is giving me a bit of stick for it. He doesn't get it at all. And I get it. On a defensive standpoint, it makes no sense whatsoever. But the aerial threat at the moment, I think he is better than Gabriel. In terms of aerial threat, at the moment, in set-piece quality, I think he's better than Gabriel right now. And the form states that because he's scored two in his last two, albeit they were against West Ham and Burnley. But he's still there. He's still basically playing as a number nine when corners come in and crosses come in sometimes. And he's there. And I it's a gut feeling, right? And sometimes, and a lot of this season, my gut feelings have planned out for me, especially with captaincy, as the Slack lot will tell you. I'm lucky George this season. And I'm going for it, which means someone in my midfield is being benched, or someone in my striker is being benched. So I have a midfield four, Bruno Fernandes, Morgan Rogers, Antoine Semenyo and Declan Rice. And then I have a front two of Haaland and João Pedro, which means I'm benching Enzo. And the reason I'm benching Enzo is there are rumours that Palmer will start against West Ham. And as I said earlier, if Palmer starts, that's a bad thing for Enzo. And honestly, someone's thrown a ball at me and I'm swinging with my Romero-faced bat. That's what I'm doing this week. I'm backing it. I'm going with my gut feeling, and I'm just, if it stings me, it stings me. I by the way, I think West Ham look a lot better. A lot better. And I think West Ham will give them a game at the weekend. I think Chelsea will be very high in spirits with their Napoli win. But I think, you know, West Ham's going to give them a game. And they have to, West Ham. They're fighting for their lives now. They've won their last two games, by the way, West Ham. And I think they're going to rock up to Chelsea and give them a go. And I think Rossini will know that. And which is why I actually think he starts João Pedro and potentially benches Enzo. I think he'll mix it up a little bit. Yeah. And I just think West Ham are going to give him a harder game than they need to. And João Pedro is probably going to be the man more than Enzo is to get him out of a potential West Ham-shaped loss. I think Chelsea will win the game, by the way. I just don't think they go and win this 2 or 3 or 4-0. Captaincy. Now, don't worry, I'm not captain Romero. there's a few you could go. If you believe Arsenal will bounce back, you can go Rice, you can go Gabriel. If you believe United are well and truly back, you can go Bruno Fernandes. If you believe Spurs will get battered, but Haaland won't do anything, you could go Semenyo. if you think Joao Pedro will start and get two or three against West Ham, you could go there. Or you can even go Rodgers, who, you know, at Villa, we ain't great. We don't have a great record going to Villa. I think twice we've been beat 4-0 by them, and Rodgers can easily turn up. The annoying thing is now, we won't get any leaks about City this weekend. And Steve, in our little group earlier, he built a little narrative that Haaland could be there. I've spoke so long, I can't get my words out now. Steve spoke a big, not big game. He played devil's advocate, and he said, could Haaland be benched against Spurs? I said no, because I think Spurs... I'm sorry, I've lost my train of thought there. I think Spurs is a bigger game for City than Newcastle is. Now, Nicole, Rory, Keith, calm down. I'm not saying Newcastle shit. But I think because of the two-goal deficit, there's more of and how Newcastle are playing at the moment, especially when they play away from home, there's an argument that City can bench a couple against Newcastle and have them to come on if they need to. And I think that Newcastle game will be more of a rest for Haaland than this one will be. I think Haaland needs to Haaland needs to play this one. They are only 4 points away from Arsenal. Leeds, by the way, Leeds could easily get a point against Arsenal at the weekend. Leeds are a hard team to beat at Elm Road. So there is a world where Arsenal draw that game and, you know, and City go, right, we're 5 points. If we win this, we're 2 points. And that's where, I've said it the last week, where there's going to come a point where Haaland's going to have to step it up again, where Pep's going to have to grab Haaland and go, right, we're basically two wins away from going above Arsenal again. Like, you need to wake up a bit here. And Haaland is tired, by the way. And I agree when Pep says that, but I just think that because of the two-goal deficit, that the two-goal advantage, sorry, that City have, that this is a bigger game, and this is a game where Haaland has to start, and he will probably be benched for that Newcastle game. And now, if Mickey is out, and this kind of contradicts my Romero theory a little bit, but if Mickey is out, Romero doesn't do well when he doesn't have Mickey with him. If Mickey is definitely out, then that is a massive Haaland's my captain. Annoyingly, we won't know, because Thomas Frank said he's touch and go, which, you know, doesn't really give you anything. If I wasn't to go Haaland's, so put it this way, if I knew Mickey was 100% out, it'd be Haaland and that's it. We're not having a conversation. Let's say Mickey's fine. If Mickey's fine, but you still think Spurs are going to get beat, I don't mind a Semenya pick at all. So I think for me, I don't trust Arsenal at the moment. I don't actually think they... Personally, I don't think they win against Leeds. I think they get a point against at Elland Road. I think Leeds will give them a good game and it will probably be 1-1. It's either going to be 2-1 Arsenal, where they're going to nick it somehow, or it'll be 1-1. Which then means you've got, for me, you've got Bruno, you've got Semenya, you've got Haaland. As much as I want to build a narrative that João Pedro will start, it's 50-50. Haaland, it's Pep Roulette at the end of the day. Haaland could be benched, he could not be benched. I don't think he will, but I think the player that definitely won't be benched is Semenya, and the player who definitely will not be benched is Bruno Fernandes. However, I'd probably go Semenya. If there's no Haaland and you're adamant you don't want to go Haaland, I think I'd go Semenya. I don't think Bruno... I want to see how United play against a low block under Carrick. And whether the whole two-game win is an anomaly. and, you know, they still struggle against sides like Fulham, like your Bournemouths, like your Fulhams, like your Brentfords, or, you know, Carrick is well and truly at the wheel, everything's great, everything's rosy, United go win 3 or 4-0. If you want me to rank it, I'd probably go, and again, this is if Mickey's injured. So, for argument's sake, if Mickey's fit, let's say Mickey's fit, I'd probably go Semenyo as my first captain, Haaland as my second, Bruno as my third. Louise, I know you're asking about captaincy, so that's kind of for you. yeah, I think that would be the way I'd go. And then I'd probably go Rice 4th, Rodgers 5th, João Pedro 6th. I think that's the way I'd rank my captains. And I've realised I've just done a 50-minute pod with lots of waffle and guff. And yeah, I'm still at work, by the way. So I'm literally going to stop this record and go home, ready for the game week tomorrow. And yeah, look, you know, I had a little chat about the pod with Sam, and, you know, she says I'm doing a great job of it, and I do want to build this pod, and I enjoy it, I love doing it, and I'm going to hopefully get some equipment in the summer, where next season I will do video pods, I will do YouTube potentially, and I will have some of you wonderful people join in a pod with me. As I said to Sam earlier, I love doing it, I really enjoy doing it, and, you know, at the end of the day, that's all you want to do. You want to do stuff that you love to do, and that's what I'm doing. But yeah, look, everyone, great game week. I'm sorry for the 52 minutes of rambling. excuse me, sorry. Green Arrows, happy wild carders if you are on the wild card. If you're not on the wild card, yeah, Green Arrows, and enjoy. Cheers, guys.